Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Well, the program is Lyrics and Legends. We got a good one coming up this week. Got a little local talent that grew up over around the McLean area. You may have to straighten me out if I get all this screwed up. But anyway, on the phone with us, actually sitting somewhere in North Carolina at the moment, is Ronnie Tidbull from McLean, Texas. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We've been looking forward to visiting with you and getting to learn a little about your music and little Ronnie Tidbull history, I guess. Give our listeners a little lesson. So you grew up over at McLean?
Well, I grew up in Allen Reed.
Oh my gosh!
The big city of Allen Reed. Lived there until I was about 25. So
where'd you go to school?
I went to school in McLean.
Okay,
because you know Allen Reed really didn't have a school. Well, they had a grade school, but
I didn't know how. I knew a lot of these little towns had them up until 20 years ago or so, and then most of them.
That's about right.
Merged, but so. What years were you in McLean at school?
I graduated in 88 in McLean, from McLean High School.
And so you've been doing a little music, and did you get started playing music in high school? Or?
No, I was probably a senior in high school. My dad took some, went up to Pampa to the pawn shop and come back with me a guitar, and I have a twin brother named Robert. And bought me a guitar and him a bass. And if I remember right, he used our money we'd been saving. We weren't real happy about that. But he bought that and brought it home. And that's kind of where it started. You know, I was probably 18 when I started picking up the guitar.
So what, I mean, was he just hoping you'd get into it or what?
Well, you know, Dad was a musician and a singer. And his name's Bill Tidwell, a little band back in the 60s, Billy Tidwell and Chevelles. And
oh, my goodness.
And he's in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, actually.
But, is he really?
He is. And he had a, I don't know if you'd call it a regional hit, or I think back then they called them jukebox hit, back when they still had jukeboxes. But I don't know, he said he just knew that, you know, I'd pick it up. And, of course, when he first got it, he brought me home the Fender Telecaster, American made, 1972 Fender Telecaster, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it, really, you know. stood over in the corner, and it sat there, and I'd plink on it a little bit, and time kind of went on. I was into rock and roll, you know, and country music, that's for old farts, you know. And
right.
So anyway, I'd plink around on it a little bit, and nothing ever came up, but I had a buddy that had an old piece of junk Sigma acoustic guitar, and I went over to his house, and his name was Kerry Anderson there from McLean, and I went over to his house and kind of picked it up, and it actually, you know, that kind of intrigued me a little bit, the acoustic, for some reason. So I traded him, I think it was $15 on a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey for that guitar, and I didn't put that daggum thing down for about 15 years. I don't know what it was about it.
Yeah, George said it all boils down to the whiskey, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's funny. I was only 18, so I couldn't go buy him whiskey. So I conned my mom into going with me to Pampa, and she bought that bottle of whiskey. And, she drove me to his house and made. He was older. He was probably in his late 20s. And she made sure I took that whiskey in and gave it to him and only brought the guitar out and left the whiskey in there.
Talk a little bit about your dad's music again. So was he doing that around McLean and Amarillo? Or was
it? Yeah, he cut a little record back in the 60s there in White Deer, Texas. They had a little studio. I believe it was called Cocobo Music.
Wow.
Something like that. But he did a cover of Folsom Prison Blues on the A side, and the B side was a song I think a guy from Amarillo had written called Standing Too Close to Heartache, and they put out a little single, and I guess it did really, really well, and he had a little jukebox hit with it and stuff, and I remember, you know, people talking about that when I was up in high school, and of course we all had our little 45s of it. And
so you think that exists anywhere anymore? Anybody got any copies?
Yeah, actually, I know you can get a copy of it because I found it on eBay not long ago. I was, you know, fooling around on the internet, and I come across it on eBay, and And they were selling it for $50. And I said, what the heck? You know, you can buy Dad's record for $50 or two songs, or you can buy my whole dadgum album for $9 on iTunes. I'm getting screwed on this deal.
All right, we're going to listen to Bill Tidwell and the Chevelles, Folsom Prison, and we're going to be back in just a few minutes.
I hear a train up coming. It's rolling round. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. I keep dragging on. But I hear that train a rolling on down to San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno. Watch him die. When I hear that lonesome whistle, I hang my head and cry. But I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving. That's what tortures me. If they'd free me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, you bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I'm gonna stay. I'll let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Programs Lyrics and Legends on the Legends Radio Network. We've got Ronnie Tidwell on the phone with us. Ronnie grew up in the big city of Allen Reed, went to school over at McLean, and just got through listening to a song by Bill, your dad, Bill Tidwell, and the Chevelles. Man, can't get a better name than that right there.
That's right. that's as American as it gets. That's it.
That's it. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolets. But you got to play music around a little bit and ran into Troy Gandy, right?
Yeah. I don't like to tell a lot of people that, but I guess it's out now.
It's on the radio.
That's right.
From Amarillo to Elk City. So, talk a little bit about how you guys got connected.
Well, I had just started playing. We had a little band there in McLean, and Kelly's mom, Pam, hired me to play a couple nights a week, just acoustic there at the old Irish Rose, or the Irish Inn, I believe it was.
Okay. So and, this is Kelly Walker that works for us here
yeah.
at mm-hmm. the station.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this has been, that had to be in, I don't know, 91, 92, somewhere around in there maybe. And anyway, I was in there one day tuning my guitar, and there was a couple guys sitting over there.
Hey guys, and
I was trying to get my guitar tuned, and one of them kept kind of looking over at me, and they were kind of chuckling, and I thought, I may not end good.
I don't know how anyway, it was when you were growing up, but if the Wheeler guys came to Shamrock, we usually got run back north of the river. I don't know if McLean was the same way or not.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. And anyway, I finally got it tuned up and started playing, and then they started listening to me, and I took a break, and he walked up and introduced himself, told me he played and stuff, and so I let him play a couple songs, and the friendship started, and we've been thick as thieves ever since, and he's just a good dude, good songwriter, and, you know, we had the same taste in music, and we became fast friends, and 3 or 4 years later, we decided to move to Nashville together.
We've got some of his stuff, I think, in our library on the radio, and Kelly takes care of all that, too. If you can tell, Kelly's name comes up a lot around here, because she kind of...
She probably runs the show, doesn't she?
Yeah, pretty much. So talk a little bit about The Wells Run Dry, and then we'll take a listen to it.
Well, Troy, a few years ago, you know, we'd always tried to rap together, and we'd written a few half songs, I guess you'd say, but never could finish anything. And he called me up one day, and he said, "Man, I got this song," and he said, "I can't finish it, but I really like it." And I said, "Well, send it to me, and see if we can't work it out." And he had the first verse, the chorus, and he was stuck on the second verse, and man, it blew me away. And so I did the second verse and finished that, and I sent it back to him, and he liked it. And 2 or 3 months later, we went in the studio there in Nashville, me and Troy, and did a few songs, and that was one of them. And it turned out pretty good. I actually like the way he does it better acoustically than the way mine turned out, but don't tell him I said that. but anyway, it's called What Do We Do If the Wells Run Dry? It's just a song about pretty much about the panhandle, you know, about living out there in the old dusty plains and trying to find water or oil, one of the two.
What was the time frame? How long has that been? When you said he sent it to you, is this new enough where he's like emailing you songs, or is that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. This has been about 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, let's take a listen to The Wells Run Dry, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
We have to keep drilling. Water's us somewhere. The land has turned to desert. Fear is in. Say Jesus is coming, but heaven only knows. Not a cloud up in the sky will give us some strength, Lord, if the wells run dry. Thunder and lightning, still no rain. We got summers that last forever. Winters are cold here on the plains. Church bells ring on Sunday. I guess some things never change. We're still down here waiting on the rain. Giving thanks for the clouds in the sky. Someday the broke old man will tell you, son, it's always been that way. The folks around here keep leaving, packing up and letting go. They say blood is thicker than water, but oil is thicker than both. Still we drill just to survive. Wells
wells running dry.
Programs, lyrics, and legends. Hey, I got George Hooten in the studio with me, and George, we got a good one on the phone. We got Ronnie Tidwell from Alan Reed. I keep wanting to say McLean, then I'm like, no, man, Alan Reed. That's, you know, if you go in the post office at Alan Reed, have you ever been over there?
I've driven through there a couple times.
You ever read in there about what they used to call it, Gouge
Eye? I haven't spent a lot of time in libraries.
Am I telling the?
There's no library in Alan Reed. I'm sure you
no, the
that.
Post office.
Oh, post office.
Yeah, post office.
Well, I try to stay out of those too.
You know, it's
afraid
funny
to see your picture.
Yeah, I don't want to see a picture.
Am I telling the truth, Ronnie? There's a.
You are absolutely telling the truth. In fact, the name of my publishing company is Gouge Eye Music.
So you know the story behind all that?
I do. Back in the late 1800s, there was a brawl over there, and you guys got their eyes gouged out, and so they along the train track rail there. You know, it was a stop on whatever that train rail was, and so they started calling it Gouge Eye, and I guess it just spread. From what I understand, all the way up to Chicago, people would call it Gouge Eye. If you said Gouge Eye, Texas, they knew what you were talking about. You know, the guys on the railroad.
Wow.
But you know, I don't know if that's just lore or what.
Well, we wouldn't want to ruin a good story with facts, so we're going to go with
that's
that.
Exactly right.
So, George, now look, if you go to Alan Reed, go in the post office, and they've got a little history lesson in there for you. You can read that little story about Gouge Eye, Texas.
Well, there ought to be a song in that somewhere.
Probably, maybe. You get that started.
Maybe after this. I've started writing some stuff down here.
Well, I tell you what, if you write it, we'll try to reproduce it.
George hadn't seen a good song yet that he won't steal. So,
well, you know, I always said a good songwriter will write you a great song, and a great songwriter will steal a great song and make you think he wrote it.
Song called Into You. Talk about that one a little bit.
I wrote this one for my beautiful wife, Laura, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 months after we started dating. I sat down and wrote this song for her and about her or whatever you want to say, and just kind of the way I was going at the time, and played it for her, and she loved it. I didn't tell her it was for her, and a few weeks later, I was at a party, and someone said, play that song you wrote for Laura, and she said, what song? And I played that song, and of course, she started bawling.
Uh-oh.
Didn't know I'd written it for her.
So where did y'all meet?
We met at a bar there in downtown Nashville called Legends.
Legends.
She grew up there. She grew up there in Nashville, and yeah.
So the Texas guy came to Nashville and swept her off her feet.
Stole the girl. So they moved her back to Texas kicking and screaming.
So let's listen to Into You. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
I'm out of my senses, out of my mind, running out of fences. Nothing left for me to climb. Lord knows excuses. In my day I made a few, but it seems like lately, well, I'm out of those two. I'm out of my league. Out on a limb, you're out of this world. Here I go again, into deep, into far, playing for
my fear of falling. Well, I never took too well, but I woke up this morning and I already fell. This situation, it's out of my control. No more contemplation, this time I know. I'm out of my league, out on a limb. You're out of this world, here I go again. In
program's Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from, actually at the moment, is Ronnie Tidwell from in North Carolina. So are you living in North Carolina now?
I'm working out here. I come out here for about a year-long job, and I've been out 3 years, so.
Okay.
You can say I'm living out here.
Well, that whatever pays the rent, right?
That's right. Gotta follow the money. Just like this next song, I guess. Hey, what a great segue into this song.
Yeah, this song, I think George owes you some royalties on.
Yeah, I really thought this was going to be a in-person interview. Mm-hmm. When he told me you were going to be interviewed
tonight. Yeah, I
texted. So.
Now, let me tell you how this went, Ronnie. So we've got our band called Texas Crossroads. We got this little group text thing we do all the time, which apparently nobody pays a heck of a lot of attention to. But so we've been doing this next song. I've only been in the band officially maybe not a year, I don't know, something like that. I finally got my name on my little input on the sound system for my bass.
You got your name on the duct tape,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So then I had to,
that's when you know you're official,
take a picture because I knew I was in, and I got a t-shirt, and so that was the second thing. So I got a t-shirt. Of course, I hadn't sold any of those t-shirts, so they were going to do something with them. But
well, back to when I thought you were going to be in the studio here, I thought we had discussed that, yeah, we do one of your songs, and we were going to listen to it and critique. It's been a while since I've listened to your CD to critique it again, and I was curious if you did it as well as we do.
Probably not. I want to critique y'all. I want to take your version.
But anyhow, I told Gary, you know, I'm not sure we ought to bring it up because you might want some royalties.
Oh, yeah. So, you'll be hearing from my attorney.
Yeah. We decided we didn't have much money for royalties, so I brought over one of our T-shirts and was going to give it to you tonight.
So
and
we are
going to find out it's an interview on the phone.
We are going to mail you that T-shirt, though, if we can figure out exactly where to mail it to since you're.
Yeah, I gave Kelly my address out here. I'd love to have a T-shirt from you guys. That'd be awesome.
But, anyway, we'll get you that T-shirt. But that group text thing with our band is, we could do a whole show on that because, man, these guys don't pay much attention.
Well, it'd be X-rated.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling. I come back to Texas, try to come back 2 or 3, 4 times a year and play with a band called Dixon Creek out of Amarillo. And we can do the group text thing too, and it can get pretty daggum interesting, I can tell you.
Now, talk a little bit about this song for us, because I think it's a good song. It's good enough George liked it, so we picked it out.
Well, I'm glad y'all like it. We all know those guys that have a lot of money, you know, seems like they're on top of the world. They got got a lot of money, got the good looking wife and all this, life's just perfect. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine out in Nashville and one day, and we were talking about this guy that we knew that was that way. The guy was a millionaire and, you know, had the model girlfriend and or wife, and but he just seemed like he was never really happy. And I said, well, you know, it ain't much of a living if it ain't much of a life. We both kind of went,
there it is.
And it took us a while to work the song. Now, this is one of those songs that I got to, I went home and started writing it, and I got the first verse and the chorus, and then it probably took us 6 months of pounding out the second verse and the bridge to it. But I think when we finished it up, it was a good one. He said, man, we wrote the skin off of that rascal.
It is a great song.
It is.
We'll take a minute and we'll listen to It Ain't Much of a Living by Ronnie Tidwell, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You sure got a lot of money. You ain't got a lot of time. You're always in some kind of hurry, trying to make an extra dime. Does she ever call you honey when you're not around your friends? I'll admit your wife is pretty, but that would wear me pretty thin. Well, I got a few years on you. Listen here, I'm gonna tell it to you, friend to friend. It ain't much of a living if it ain't much of a life. You're out there making a killing, but you're dying inside. You can't see what you're missing with your eyes on the prize. It ain't much of a living if it ain't much of a lie. Wait a minute, I'm not finished. You see, I once was in your shoes, climbing up the corporate ladder and getting used to getting you. Well, a lot of good that done me. I lost the house, the boat, the Benz. Turns out she didn't really love me, neither did my friends. Now the kids are grown up and I don't even know them. Can I make it any clearer than that? It ain't much of a living. It ain't much of a lie. You're out there making a killing, but you're dying inside. You can't see what you're missing with your eyes on the prize. It ain't much of a living if it ain't much of a lie. Just an old fool, drunk on a bar stool at 2:15. Son, what does that make you? It ain't much of a living if it ain't much of a lie. You're out there making a killing, you're dying inside. You can't see what you're missing with your eyes on the prize. It ain't much of a living if it ain't much of a life. It ain't much of a living if it ain't
much of a lie.
The program's Lyrics and Legends, that song we just listened to is called It Ain't Much of a Living. On the phone with us is Ronnie Tidwell. And Ronnie grew up going to school over at McLean and got into writing music, moved out to Nashville and wrote that song. And anyway, it's been kind of popular on the eastern side of the panhandle, at least with our bunch. So I enjoyed that.
Good.
It'll usually fill up the dance floor.
It will.
It's good. You know what? That's what it's all about. That's all I care about. As long as people like my music, you know, my wife always tells me, said, "You got the music down pat, but it's the business end of it that you're lacking in." I probably give it away 10,000 CDs, you know.
Spoken by a true musician.
That's right.
We do that pretty regular occasion over at the McLean Dance Hall, so George has to tell everybody that the guy that wrote that's from over there. So it's always a lot of fun to hit that. So when did you and Troy go to Nashville?
We moved out in 95, in July of 95. I'd been playing. I started back in about 89 or so. We started a little band called Southern Star there in McLean with me and Bobby Richardson, John McMorty, Dan Fish, Buddy Webb was on fiddle, and Robert and Clay Cooper. And we played around everywhere from, you know, Oklahoma over to New Mexico and places around for about 7 years. Well, let's see, 89 to 95, I guess it was. And just got kind of burned out on it. And me and Troy just got to talking and said, you know what? He'd already graduated college. He was in Oklahoma working. And I was still in college over at West WC, and I think I lacked about 15 hours graduating. And much to my parents' chagrin, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to Nashville to be a big songwriter. And off we went, me and him. And Robert Cooper, the guy that played bass with me there, McLean, he moved out with us for a while. And then he went back home, and Don Bodie, who grew up in Allen Reeves, also a musician. He played in a band called Slow Motion around there for years. Then he moved out. He lived out there with us for several years. And boy, did we have a good time.
Man, that's got to be tough, though. I mean, as much talent as there is in a town like Nashville to go out there and try to make a mark.
Yeah, tough. Tough is definitely an understatement. You know, you go from Allen Reed in Shamrock, Texas to Nashville, Tennessee. It's culture shock doesn't even begin to describe it, you know. But you know what's funny is it seems like out there all the Texas guys kind of we just find each other. I don't know how it happens, but and you'd be surprised. I don't know if it's like this anymore because I'm really not into the I left Nashville music. I didn't really leave country music. Country music left me, and so I got away from that scene. And I don't know how it is now, but I know back then, back in the 90s, there was. You'd be surprised how many people from the Panhandle guys were out there. Talented people were out there either writing. I wrote with a guy named Les Rollins. He's from Border. Trent Wilman, he's from Matador, which is not really Panhandle, but close enough.
Close enough,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's a funny story. I was in a bar there down in Nashville one night, and I've probably been there about 6 months. This guy walks up. We get to talking, and he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Amarillo." I tell people I'm from Amarillo.
We've done the same thing.
Yeah, I'm from Amarillo. And he said, "Oh, yeah, me too." I said, "Really?" He said, "Well, I'm from Miami." And I knew he was serious. I knew he was really from Miami because he didn't say Miami.
Yeah, so, I was going to say he knew how to say
He said, "I'm from Miami." And I said, "Well, I'm from McLean." He said, "I'm from Laketon." And I said, "Well, I'm from Allen Reed." And he said, "Well, I can't beat you then." I said, "We narrowed it down, didn't we?" his name is Clay Henderson, and he was working in the music business out there. We became pretty good friends, and he actually lives back in Amarillo now. But kind of an interesting little story. Seems like we'd always find each other, you know.
Yeah, we had a similar story about a friend of ours that went. I think they were in Chicago or somewhere, and they ran into this guy, and they were visiting. And they said, "Where are y'all from?" And they said, "Amarillo." And it's kind of the same deal. He said, "Well, really, it's Wheeler County, and then really it's Mobeady." And the guy said, "New Mobeady or Old Mobeady?" And then they knew he really knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, he either been there or he's been reading a lot of books.
Oh, talk a little bit about, we're going to do Gone next, I think. Talk a little bit about that song.
Gone is one of my favorites. It's actually one of the, I guess you'd say the crowd favorites or whatever, but one of my most popular songs. It's I had a buddy in high school named Johnny Mann, and we called him Superman, you know, and he was just a buddy, and I don't know why, but one day I was in Nashville, and I was thinking about Johnny. I hadn't seen him in years, and I come up with that, started drumming the guitar, and I just come up with that. Johnny, he was young and tan, thought he was a Superman, spent his high school days learning how to fly. And so song kind of sprouted from that, and it's just, you know, I wanted to write a story. I always say it's loosely based on a total fabrication. It's just a story about, you know, two kids that run off together and how life goes.
Well, we're going to take a listen to Gone, and then we'll be back here in just a few minutes.
Johnny, he was young and tan, thought he was a Superman, spent his high school days learning how to fly. Sally was a renegade, she didn't know she had it made. I never thought to stop and ask her why. But underneath an April moon, when the paintbrushes reached full bloom, Johnny whispered low in Sally's ear, there's no way that this could be the only place for you and me. Won't you grab my cape? We'll fly on out of here. And they were gone, chasing the tumbleweed. I'm moving on to someplace better down the line. Go ahead and take a couple numbers off your city limit sign. They've already left it behind. Gone. They spent some time in Santa Fe. Johnny wanted to try L.A. Said he always dug the California style. They never quite made it there. Nobody said that life is fair. Somewhere in Arizona they lost a child. But underneath the April moon, when the cactus flowers reached full bloom, Johnny whispered low in Sally's ear, there's no way that this could be the end of you and me. Grab what's left of my cape, we'll fly on out of here. And they were gone, chasing the tumbleweeds. I'm moving on to someplace better down the line. Go ahead and take a couple numbers off your city limit sign. Track in 92, they were living down in Idaho. Johnny took a job at the co-op cotton gin. Sally, she was tin and bar. You wouldn't think they made it far, but I'll never see the places that they've been. But underneath each April moon, when the paintbrushes reach full bloom, a little voice keeps whispering in my ear, no way that this could be the only place for a man like me. If ever find a cape, I fly my ass on out of here. And I'll be gone, chasing the tumbleweed. I'm moving on to someplace better down the line. Go ahead and take my number. You're sitting in a sign. Someday I'll leave it behind. Gone. I'll be gone.
program is Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me, I got George Hooten. You know, George, this song we just listened to, Gone, he said that he had written it about a guy named Steve, man. They used to call him Superman. I thought, man, that's cool. I wish my name would have been something cool like that. You know, when I was in high school, you know what my coach called me? Gary Ware. So instead of Gary Ware, it was Under. So I can't be Superman. I got to be Underwear.
Well, I guess my nickname is better than that. I've been called Hooter Man Hooterman. Most of my life. You know, so I kind of like that much
better.
That's
bragging right there. Yeah.
Not a lot of truth to it.
So, okay, Ronnie. So you got any nicknames?
Nah, none that I can say on the radio.
Anyway, great song. That was Gone that we just listened to. Got Ronnie Tidwell on the phone with us. Ronnie's... Now, you went to Nashville, you and Troy, and spent several years out there trying to break through. Did you guys form a band when you got there, or how did all that lay out?
No, we didn't. We really weren't trying to. We weren't trying to be singers when we were out there. We were just trying to be songwriters. So we would just do songwriter nights and stuff like that. You know, I played a few little bars around, but nothing major. We were really trying to break into the songwriting end of it, which is, you know, really, really tough. And we just kind of go meet songwriters and try to find people to write with and that kind of thing.
Now, but, what were you guys doing to like, pay the rent? I mean,
well, when we first got out there, we got us a little apartment, and me and Troy went to work at the Wax Museum, and it's not there anymore. It closed down in probably late 90s, probably. It closed down. It was right there on DeMombre in Music Row in DeMombre, and there was a little strip mall there. I don't even know what it is now. It's probably a high rise or something. But back then, it was a little strip mall right across from the old Country Music Hall of Fame. It used to be down there. And we went to work at this strip mall, or at this wax museum and a t-shirt shop. And a friend of Troy's that he introduced me to out there named Danny Stegall, Red's brother, owned the little t-shirt shop. So we went to work for him and then the wax museum as well. And we had some fun down there at that place. They paid us $5 an hour. I think it was $5 an hour cash to sit in there and take people's money and send them through the wax museum. And we'd be letting people in the wax museum. And, you know, some good-looking girls or something went through. One of us would take off and sneak around through the back entrance of the museum. At the very last exhibit, they had a big stage back there, and I think they had, if I can remember right, it's been 30 years ago, they had George Strait, Tracy Lawrence, and a couple others, you know, wax figures up there. And we'd run back there. Of course, we'd have our cowboy hat on and stuff. We'd either sit down, they had a little bench up there next to them, and we'd sit down on that bench like we were a wax figure, and we'd stand up next to them. And here they'd come, these girls would come through there, you know. And I remember one time I ran back there, and I sat down on that bench real still. I could hear them coming. Oh, look, it's George Strait. Oh, look, it's Tracy Lawrence. It's whoever. Who is that? I don't know. Who is that guy? And they were looking. I don't know who that is. I don't recognize him. And finally I said, you mean you don't know who I am? And boy, they squealed and took off running. Ran back out the front as fast as they could go.
That's great.
I think we got fired from that job. I can't
believe it. I can't believe it. Let's move on and do how about I used to like Green Eyes. Talk about this a little bit.
I used to like Green Eyes. I had a couple of friends there in Nashville. One of them was named Jocelyn Taylor, and the other one was Chris Sultemeyer. They were really good friends of mine. They both had green eyes, and one day we were at a bar, and I don't remember Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue or one of those songs come on, you know, and so they started griping about how there's no songs about green eyes and all this. And so I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll write you a song about Green Eyes. And so I went home and knocked out I Used to Like Green Eyes, and turned out pretty good. I like this song. It's country.
All right. It's country. We're going to listen to I Used to Like Green Eyes, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
I used to like green. They once turned me on. I've come to realize that color's all wrong. Now all I see is blue, but darling, one look at you, and it comes as no surprise that I used to like green. Auburn hair, ruby lips, I held her at my fingertips, and just like that, I watched her slip away. Though I tried with all my might, still she faded out of sight, left me here a deeper shade of jade. That's why I used to like green eyes. They once turned me on, but I've come to realize that color's all wrong. Now all I see, darling, one look at you, and it comes as no surprise that I used to like green eyes. Look at you standing there, wind blowing through your hair, looking like a dream I often have. Look at me, looking at you, Lord, I feel just like a fool, but I can't help myself, you always take me back to when I used to like green eyes. They once turned me on, but I've come to realize that color's all wrong. Now all I see, darling, one look at you, and it comes as no surprise that I used to like green eyes. No, I just can't tell a lie, I'm still crazy about green eyes.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. We've been visiting. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and just ever since I started playing with Texas Crossroads with George and Kelly and these guys, and they've been doing It Ain't Much of a Living, I thought, man, I've got to figure out how to get a hold of Ronnie Tidwell and visit with him on the phone. And then Kelly Walker, she said, well, I can get a hold of him. And took her about an hour, maybe, I don't know. She said, I've got you an interview set up. So anyway, we've had a chance to visit and do a few of your songs. The song we just listened to was I Used to Like Green Eyes. You've got one called, let me make sure I pronounce this right, Juliana?
Juliana, yes.
Juliana.
Sure, that is correct. Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Juliana is a, I call it a 6 minute, it's like a 6 minute epic Western movie wrapped into a song. And I was just one day sitting around playing this guitar that Troy Gandy, my friend, and another friend, Robert Light, and my wife bought for me, a little Spanish guitar that I saw at a music store and sat down and was playing and just fell in love with it and put it back, and they snuck down later and bought it for me. But I was just playing some Spanish stuff on this guitar, and I thought, man, I need to write a Spanish song, and I couldn't figure out what to call it. And there's a there's a girl from Allen Reed called Irma McClain. She's actually from McLean, Juliana Crockett, that I'd went to school with, and I always thought that name was a cool name, you know. And actually started playing this song and got into the story, and I was using Adriana, and then it dawned on me that, well, you know, Vince Gill just had a
yeah.
song called My Pretty Little Adriana, so I thought, I can't use that. And Juliana, the name, her name popped into my head, Juliana, and so I started singing that, Juliana, and I just wanted a story song about a, it's about a guy back in the 1800s who joins the, I guess, the military and goes out chasing Mexican bandits, and it doesn't go so well for him, and this is his song for his woman that he left behind named Juliana.
All right, we want to listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Taylor thought we'd go and have some fun, and I'll admit I must have been plumb out of my mind to leave Juliana far behind. She cried when I told her, bound to meet your death down there in the hills of Mexico. But Poncho took the run in, we couldn't let him get away. Well, I'll write you Juliana every day. Oh, Juliana, I wish that I could say could recall. And you can bet your ass that I'd have turned tail and run if I'd known what was yet to come. The captain got our orders and we were on the chase, and not a day went by that I did not see her face. But everyone assured me 2 weeks and nothing more, and I'd be back at Juliana's door. Sangria is covered in snow. That's where we lay our ambush, Poncho down below. The
locals there still sing about the day the gringos bled. Sangria pass it turned blood red. I guess I was the lucky one for I alone escaped. No gun, no food, no shelter. Well, death surely awaits. And my life, my love flashed before my eyes and made my blood run cold. For I've lost them both in old Mexico.
So you're listening to Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with us is Ronnie Tidwell. You're currently in North Carolina and went from Allen Reed to McLean to...
to Amarillo to Nashville.
To Nashville and now... So what are you doing in North Carolina?
I'm a pipeline inspector.
All right.
So work
in North Carolina. I guess they got pipelines everywhere. Huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been all over the country working on them.
All right. So... you're still writing and doing music, though, even though you're...
Yeah, I still write, not as much as I'd like to, but as much as I should, but I do still write, and I get back to Amarillo. I try to get back 2 or 3 times a year at least, play with a band called Dixon Creek, Gary Conway, and Stacy the Sheller Boys from Amarillo, and we play around there some. And we do a thing, we haven't done it in a while, but Gary and I put together a little band called Swinging Doors, and we have some guys from Nashville, musicians, come out and play with us as well. We do that every once in a while, usually Canadian, kind of a, you know, the Nut Fry or something like that up there. We'll go play that. But
you ever make it over to the Shamrock Dove Hunt?
Yeah, I do. Well, I used to. It's been 6 or 7 years since I've been over there, I guess.
When I talk about, there may be people listening because we're on in Amarillo and... Elk City, Canadian, and all around. People that may not know about that, but it's kind of a big deal in Shamrock, that dove hunt is.
Absolutely.
It was started by Troy's dad, right, Gary?
That's right, yeah, Gary.
I don't know how much money they've generated through that thing.
I'm not 100% sure, but it seems like I saw Troy posted something about over $40,000 they've raised, you know, over the years.
Yeah, I know it's
been. It may be more than that. I don't really remember, but it's a pretty good sum and it goes to a really good cause there.
Yeah, so that's kind of been a big deal around here for several years is the Gandy's dove hunt over there, and I think people have quite a time over there too.
Yeah, I tell you, Shamrock lost a bunch when they lost the Gandy's. They were good people. Gary,
absolutely, Gary. Yeah. Good guy. We've got to get 2 more songs in here. So we want to get you to talk a little bit about... I wrote in my shorthand, She's Got the Right, and then I quit writing because I was trying to get... So tell me what this song is.
This is a song called She's Got the Right to Do Me Wrong, and I had been meeting with some publishing companies there in Nashville, and it's been about 98, 99, somewhere around in there, and they were all telling me you're too country. That, you know, it's just too your stuff you bring is too country. You need to write. I want something pop, 3 minutes pop, up tempo pop, and probably about four or five of them, and they tell you the same thing, you know. And this was after country really, in my opinion, started its downhill slide. And all the people from back in the, when I moved out there in 1995 was in the middle of what I would consider the last great Nashville scene. And the there for a while, country music surpassed pop music, you know, as far as popularity and sales and everything. Well, when that happened, all these record labels started sending all their guys from L.A. and New York in there to run these labels. They didn't have a clue what they were doing. Didn't have a clue. They didn't know Conway Twitty from Tupac Shakur, you know. And that's all they wanted was pop, 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 pop. And so I said, all right, I'll go write something as pop as I can. And I went and got with a friend of mine, Lane Turner from Leveland, a songwriter out there, actually a really good artist. Had a record deal for a while, and we wrote this song, and it's as country as the dirt and Alan Reed.
You showed them, didn't you?
I did. I took it back to them. They didn't like it, but I didn't care.
You know, that before we play the song, that our radio stations over here, I don't know if you've been back long enough to catch us, but that's been probably one of the best things that's happened to us, is because we just play all the old stuff. And
yeah, that's awesome.
And we get more comments. We just got on in Amarillo on 103.9, which we'll be playing this in Amarillo, so we'll get the word out that it's going to be on up there. But it's been really refreshing to get all the comments. We were just looking at another one just a few minutes ago from a listener in Amarillo, that something to the effect of it's finally nice, or finally got something on the radio worth listening to in Amarillo. So
yeah, it's a shame you have to go back. But, you know, on the same time, same token is, you know, I don't begrudge them for doing that. I mean, it's called the music business for a reason, you know. If people would buy this good old country music, that's what they would make. But guys our age, we don't really buy albums and stuff that much. But, you know, and I get to listen every once in a while. I get to listen to what they call the red dirt music, you know, the Texas stuff. And to me, that sounds like the stuff we were doing in the 90s. So
right. It's
to me, that's awesome, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm the same way. You know, if it's working for them, they're making money and selling it, then that's just business. Just can't hardly.
I can't
call
listen
it country.
To it.
When I
no,
see,
I can't listen to it.
And I don't watch any of the award shows or anything. But when I, you know, when I listen to something and they call it a number one country hit or something, and I'm just going, yeah, that's not country.
I'm the same way, and you can't tell any of those guys apart. You know, I think there's just one guy singing all the country songs. He just, between songs, he goes and changes his girl bridges, you know, and puts on a different pair of girl bridges, so you think it's somebody else. I don't know.
We're going to listen to She's Got the Right to Do Me Wrong, and this is your pop hit.
That's right.
All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
It would be easy for you to condemn her. You say you've seen her out on the town. Believe me, you shouldn't blame her. You don't know the reasons she's been running around. She knows too well what it's like to spend each night alone. What that does to a woman, man, you'll just never know. She's got the right to do
aren't what they seem to be. The woman you think you see, the man that I am, trust me. Friend, if you only knew the hell that I put her through, you might understand. She knows too well what it's like to spend each night alone. To find his way back home. What that does to a woman, man, you'll just never know. She's got the right to do. That does to a woman, man, you'll just never know. She's got the right to do me wrong. She's got the right.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. George, what did you think? You were my. This is your first time co-hosting Lyrics and Legends.
Well, I'm a duck out of water.
You're no Buck Weatherby, you know? I'll tell you.
You didn't tell me I was supposed to be involved with this. I come in here just to watch and listen to him sing.
He did bring you a shirt, Ronnie.
Well, I wish I was there to get it.
We're going to get it to you. So that song we just listened to, She Got the Right to Do Me Wrong, and that was Ronnie's attempt at pop music.
I was really curious to see what kind of guitar he was going to be playing.
Is that when he traded now, what kind of guitar was that you traded the whiskey and the?
Oh, that was an old Sigma guitar. It's up in the in upstairs my parents' house. I don't carry that around with me. I got an old Takamine that I bought back in about 1989 that I still carry with me.
Are your parents still at Allen Reed?
Yeah, they still live in Allen Reed, yeah.
So that guitar's in the Tidwell Music Hall of Fame there.
It's in the Tidwell Music Museum and Emporium in downtown Allen Reed.
We got time.
Don't nobody look at it. My dad will probably sell it to you.
Well, maybe I can trade him out of it. Hey, we do this little deal every week called the Department of Shameless Plugs. So you can say anything you want to about where people can find your music or see if you're going to be an Amarillo playing or whatever.
Yeah, man. You can find my music on iTunes or Amazon, anywhere you can get digital music. It's pretty much there. You can listen to it on Spotify, Pandora, all the internet radio stations. You can stream it. There's a good site called ReverbNation.com that is a wonderful site for small musicians or any musician, really. You can stream or download stuff on it, and it's got a bunch of acoustic, just acoustic songs on it as well as the album. They can listen to that. But yeah, I'd love for them to check it out. And as far as if I'm going to be back playing, really, the Dixon Creek Band would be the band that I play with back there. So just check with them on their stuff and Facebook. And you know, see if I'm going to be with them playing around there. It probably won't be anytime real soon, but who knows? You never know in this life what what's going to come next week. So.
All right. We got one more. We want to wrap it up with Oklahoma shore. Where in the heck? There's not a lot of shoreline, is there, in Oklahoma?
Not yet, but, you know, global warming. No. this song is it's actually the working title was called "I'll Stop Loving You," and it's just a song about Texas and everything that's great in Texas. And when Texas stops being great, is when I'll stop loving you, which is going to be never. And the Oklahoma shore part comes from a tagline in the chorus. You know, when the island of Padre is 1,000 feet under the ocean, if people play on the Oklahoma shore, I'll stop loving you. So it's really, and the track I'm going to send that you're going to listen to is actually just a working track. It's not a finished product. This is my newest recording, and I'm doing it there in Panhandle with a guy named Gary Conway. They've got a wonderful studio in Panhandle, Texas. You wouldn't think it, but they get a great sound, and y'all should check it out. It's called 80615 Music, and so what you're going to hear is just my scratch vocals on the track, but I figured I'd give everybody kind of a taste.
All right, so this is kind of a first right here, huh?
Yeah, this is definitely a first, and it's not finished, but it's good enough for me.
So. All right, we're going to listen.
Hank Williams never worried about being slick. I figure, why should I?
Yeah, we ain't much about being slick around here. But. All right, let's listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few minutes to wrap this up.
When the sun no longer sets on the Paladuro, and Houston gets buried in a foot of snow, when you can stand out on Polk Street in Amarillo, and not feel that old. Children no longer look up in amazement at the Milky Way bright in a panhandle sky, when the Alamo was covered up with pavement, and the Guadalupe is dry. Stop loving you one day, pass forever. Only then and not one day before. The island of Padres, 1,000 feet under the ocean. People play on the ocean. I'll stop loving you. Cause the damn mesquite tree, it rains so much the grass grows 3 feet high, when you can't find a cowboy down in Dallas. Or Bob Wills on a Friday night. I'll start loving you. I'll stop loving you one day past forever. Only then and not one day before. The island of Padres, 1,000 feet under the ocean. People play on the Oklahoma shore. I'll stop loving you. I'll stop loving you. When the sun no longer sets on the Palladium.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. We just, man, we've had a good visit and had George Hooten in the studio with me. George has just worn that mic out over there. And on the other end of the line is Troy Gandy's friend, Ronnie Tidwell.
I don't think anybody tuned in and listened to me.
Ronnie, thanks a bunch for, like I say, taking time out of your busy life to visit with us over here.
I enjoyed it.
Shamrock,
I enjoyed it. Good talking to the home guys, and especially George. It's been a long time since I've talked to George.
Well, we'll be doing your song, St. Patrick's, out here at the American Legion.
Hey,
we'll be sure to bring your name up.
We could probably stick that royalty check in with that T-shirt.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, you be looking for that now.
I'll definitely expect it now.
Thanks a bunch for visiting with us, and if you get back out this way, you be sure and look us up.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Ronnie.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time, here on Legends 92.9.